was news out of the Adelaide Crows. Beck Goddard, who coached the Adelaide Crows, really difficult job too in the first year, bringing her two squads effectively together, the South Australian version and the Northern Territory version, to win the flag. She's been relieved of her position at the footy club after what I guess have been testing negotiations there. Matthew Clark, the former Brisbane ruckman, will take over the coaching reins of the Adelaide AFLW team. And it was only a few weeks ago now that Daniel Harford was announced the coach of the Carlton AFLW team, and he's had a very, very big win with one of the stars of the competition and a voice well known to everybody. I'm disappointed he couldn't make his way in here. We would have loved to have had you, Daniel, in here just having a chat to us. Great man. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Andrew. Good afternoon, everybody. I would have come in. You didn't ask me to come in.
Well, you told me you're in the shower, and I asked you to come in. You said, I've just been in the shower, and it's far too much information. I needed to have a bit of a lie down after that.
I was thinking about you in the shower, too.
And as Chris in Bateman's... I don't need to know these things. And as Chris in Bateman's Bay says, half with his 2,333rd text message, don't forget, Mari, you're always in half's shadow. And ain't that the truth?
No, you're a long way from being in my shadow, Andrew, but it's nice to talk to you. I am currently at the AFL. We've got the start of the sign and trade period at the AFL, so I'm actually at AFL HQ at the moment, getting ready to sit across the table from the other clubs in the competition and find out what we can do.
Hang on. What are you about to do today? Because we know that the draft order's been put out and the compensation picks have been issued, but what are you about to do?
So there's a 10-day period now of sign and trade, so because all the players are uncontracted, effectively. They all had one-year contracts, so now we can start to sign our players up for the next season of AFLW, and then we can do a bit of trading and draft trading as well, trade for players and draft picks through this next 10-day period, just like the boys do at the end of the season, and position ourselves for with our list and for the draft later on in the year.
So how active do you think your footy club will be?
I don't know yet. I want to see what's out there. We've got a couple of things we would like to get done through the next 10 days, but it all depends on what the other clubs are prepared to give and take and all that type of thing.
You lost a couple of pretty handy key defenders. I mean, the two girls that you lost to North Melbourne, I appreciate not everybody's necessarily across the AFLW and the depth of names that some people are, but you lose Gillespie Jones and Hardiman to North Melbourne, who have gone on an unbelievable recruiting campaign. That would appear to me, half, to have left a bit of a hole in, you know, the spine of your footy club. Do you see that, or are there some others down there who you feel have got the capacity to sort of fill the breach?
Yeah, I reckon there's a couple that could fill the breach. Certainly, that is an area that we would be looking to strengthen in the next 10 days, no doubt. Whether or not it's key position or just general defenders, we'll see what's out there. I've got an eye on a few, but we'll see what we can sort of land the next little period. But, yeah, that's definitely an area that we need to strengthen. But I think with the news today that Bree and Dash have recommitted to our footy club, I mean, I heard you say before that one super important talented player, both of those girls are significant contributors to our footy club and to our team on the field. So getting them to show the way and lead the club in the faith that they've shown in what we're doing and what we're hopefully going to do, then that's a big fill for us to get the girls back on to focusing in on the campaign that we're about to embark upon.
Oh, no doubt about that. And I meant no disrespect to Darcy Vesio at all, who's, you know, one of the real talents in women's footy. I never necessarily felt that she was at risk to leave the club. But Brianna Davey, I think half, you know, sometime before you took the job on, and as just an observer of women's footy prior to that, you know, as much as you can be, given the fact that you had a position at Collingwood, it did feel like Bree Davey was out the door. It felt like her days at the Carlton Footy Club were over. How have you managed, A, was that a misconception? B, if it wasn't, how have you managed to talk her around?
Well, I was in an interesting spot, Radar, because I was obviously at Collingwood, as you said, and I sort of knew about the approach to Bree from Collingwood's perspective.
Course.
And then I got the gig at Carlton, so, and I knew about the approach and wanted to get rid of it really quickly.
Right. Don't trust them. Terrible organisation.
Jogging club. How could you do that to yourself? And I didn't know the ins and outs of the deal at the time because I was just an assistant, so they don't worry with that stuff. But I knew that there'd been a pretty strong approach. And it was just a matter for Bree. She just wanted, like all players do at the end of a season when things don't go well, just wanted some clarity on what it might look like going forward and to make sure that things were going to change for the better. Well, hopefully for the better. It's all up in the air at the moment. It's all sort of hearsay and just tell us what you like. But hopefully what we've put in place and the system we want to play and the role that she can play and all that was going to be something she appreciated and want to be a part of. And thankfully, And to her credit, she's been unbelievable. She's out there with the VFL girls. Obviously, she's still injured. She's coaching the back line in the VFL. So she's been really committed to the club for a long time now. Today, we can announce that she's been committing to the AFLW program for another season, which is awesome because she's the captain of our club, remember?
Oh, she's super talent.
But
super
she's been committed for a long time in the last month or so, just helping out the girls at the VFL, which says a fair bit about her leadership and her commitment to the footy club.
Absolutely, it does. And she was one of the gun players that injured herself badly last year, having had a really positive start to the season. It looked a bad knee. She was clearly in a lot of pain when she did it. How is the rehab and the recovery coming along?
Yeah, it's all on track, mate. It's going well. She's obviously got a fair way to go still. She's just over 3 months position now, so she's got the straightening knee situation. For those that have done knees, I've never done them, but I'm learning more about it as I go as a coach, trying to keep up to date with her progress. But they're very happy. The surgeon's happy. The physios are happy. And she's on track to be a part of our campaign from round one. So that's fantastic news for the Blues fans.
That is great news. Harv, let me ask you one of the bigger picture stories regarding women's footy. And a lot of people have been buying into this with the Mish Cowan and Beck Goddard no longer coaching their teams. You've taken over at Carlton. And the news now is that Maddie Clark's going to take over at Adelaide. So, you know, males coaching women's footy. And I've heard Daisy on this radio station say, I just want the best coach. If it's a woman, great. If it's a man, fantastic. It doesn't matter to her. In your time, and I don't know how long you're going to coach women's footy for. Hopefully it's a really long time. But will you make it a bit of a priority or a bit of a focus to encourage and develop female coaches within your ranks, as well as male coaches? You're not going to give anyone favouritism over another, but will that be something that you look to play a role in developing the next wave of female coaches?
Yeah, probably, right? I mean, it's not something I sort of think about every day, but I think being a part of the conversation and reading and listening to the way it's sort of gone in the last couple of months, I understand the issue that's been raised and the questions that have been raised surrounding it. But I think what's going to happen is because of the growth in women's footy, you'll get more women wanting to be involved to coach teams at different levels. And then naturally you'll find a filtering process that the good ones will keep on and going through the pathway, just like the players. They'll find their way through the pathway and they'll be given a chance at all levels. And I think that's just a lot of it's a time issue. I don't think you can fast track it because historically, women haven't coached a lot of footy.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, there's a percentage ratio of men coaches, women coaches. There just hasn't been a lot. Now, whether or not they've been given the opportunity is another question.
And that's the point. That's the point, isn't it? I mean, I agree with you on time. Time will see this, but in some cases, it needs action as well. It needs as much action as it does need time. And I just reckon, and I know you've got a really talented coach, female coach coaching the VFLW version of the Carlton side at the moment, and her credentials speak for themselves. So I feel like that's a step in the right direction. But I'm just interested to take the temperature of people who are in the caper, that's all.
Yeah, and Shannon McFerrin is who you're referring to, who I worked with at Collingwood last season. And I had a hell of a lot of respect for, as you say, her record is unbelievable. She's a 10-time All-Australian. And
phenomenal.
Medalist upon medalist upon medalist. She's sick of jingling. Every time she walks, she jingles and jangles.
Right.
There's so many medals just on her. Like, at the front door, it's just a wind chime of medals.
Right.
And she's a ripper. So I was very keen to make sure that she was part of our program at Carlton. And she has taken the VFLW role, but she's also my senior assistant. So I will do my best to actually make sure that she's the best coach she can be, like the other assistants that we'll appoint through the journey as well. But, you know, I think opportunity is absolutely one of the things, but I think it's a numbers game too. And when they sort of meet and come together, opportunity and numbers, then I think we'll see a real explosion of women's coaches in footy.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Hey, one of your contemporaries, and a man who's been committed to women's footy for quite some time up at Brisbane and having some real success with that organisation, Craig Starcevic, he's lost one of his gun players to the North Melbourne, this very aggressive North Melbourne team, who are clearly tapping into a relationship that a lot of these players have got with their old, you know, development clubs and their old VFL club. They're tapping into that, and good luck to them. They're the rules they're allowed to play, you know, with. Do you think that, as you've observed the way they've been able to pull players out of other clubs, do you think that they've sort of breached the spirit of what they're allowed to have access to, as Stas clearly feels they have?
Probably not the spirit. I wouldn't go so far as breaching the spirit. I mean, you
in footy, and it doesn't matter what level it is, you push the boundaries as far as you can before you get pulled up as a player, as a coach, as an administrator. So I have no qualms with North Melbourne doing whatever they can to get the best list, assemble the best list they can. My thing is, I just think the system is perhaps not the right way of going about it, particularly when you've got four more teams coming in next year. Does this happen again? And these are the things that the AFL need to alert the clubs to, because if this happens again, then it might change your whole strategy about what you do in this period with transactions in the trade and sign and draft coming up in end of the year.
Yeah.
So, you know, two more teams next year from Victoria. You've got two interstate as well. What happens? Do they get the same access to up to four players from your footy club? And all of a sudden, within 2 years, some clubs might have lost eight of their best players. I'm not sure that's a tremendous way to build a support base, because, you know, all of a sudden, and you would know this through your girls, that they've got favourite players in the AFLW who 1 year are playing for Carlton, say, next year they're playing for North Melbourne, next year they might be playing for Richmond. Mm. And is that the way to build a great support base at the grassroots level, let alone equalise the competition? I'm not sure. I haven't got the right model in my head yet, but I'm not sure that's the right one.
That's a really good question, and it's one that will reveal itself as time plays out. Hey, we'll let you go. And I know that you're going to focus on your own team. And now that you're with the Blues, you don't necessarily want to talk about individuals from other clubs. But when this league was instituted and initiated 2 years ago, Mo Hope was one of the real big names,
yep,
one of the real stars. And you worked with her last year at Collingwood. She now goes to North Melbourne as part of it. Why hasn't Mo been able to take her VFL form into the AFLW? And do you still think that she can be the player that Collingwood hoped she would have been 2 years ago?
Yeah, why? I think that the level of competition is much stiffer. I think that's the short of it. Mm. The VFL as it was, Victorian Women's Footy League as it was a good competition, but it was nowhere near the strength of the AFLW when you could do absolute best of the best playing in eight teams and four of those in Victoria, let alone the ones around the nation playing for the interstate teams. The best of the best in anything is always much better than the local product. So I think that was a realisation for not only Mo, but for a lot of players in the competition, that it's hard, mate. It's hard to play footy at this level and to be as dominant. And I think when you had that level of dominance as she did at local level, obviously the highlight, the spotlight is upon you to be able to replicate that. But I don't think it was ever going to happen to that degree.
Mm.
And maybe the coming down from that and being able to deal with that mentally might have been a bit of an issue for Mo, but she is, I say this absolutely categorically, she is one of the most talented players I have seen.
She's a freak.
She is unbelievable.
No, she really is, yeah.
Her skill level is out of this world. What she can do with the footy is just as good as any bloke I've seen. She is absolutely amazing, and I say that hand on heart.
I hope those doubters, and you know they're out, the people that just want to dismiss this. You were an outstanding player yourself and surrounded by outstanding players. When somebody like you says somebody like that, something like that about a female footballer, hopefully the people out there who are just blind to this concept, hopefully they actually listen to you. I really hope they do.
Yeah, I think a lot of people measure success by physicality and speed and power and strength, and we all know that the girls are never going to be the same as the boys in that. That's genetics, that's biology. You actually can't dispute any of that or change any of that. That's just the way life is. But in terms of motor skills and ability to do things with the ball, Mo is out of this world. So North Melbourne have certainly got themselves a player. Whether or not she can get back to that to her best or actually be her best in the AFLW, that's a question for her to answer and for Scotty Gowans at North Melbourne to try and get the best out of him. And it's going to be a challenge because it's not easy.
Good luck today. Take your coaching hat off and put your media hat on. We all love Scotty Gowans, the score, and the whisper within the score in the Herald Sun.
Well, that's a...
Oh, don't tell me you don't know.
I haven't read it.
Don't be silly. Don't lie to me. Is one of the teams slated to join the AFLW in 2020 having second thoughts? We hear a replacement is already circling with intent.
I don't know who that is, but can I tell you, Andrew, that apart from the fact that Bree Davey and Darcy Vessio committed to us at Carlton today, you should be very proud that MC Labor have committed to be the co-major partner for us for the next 2 years for the AFLW program. The good people at MC Labor have looked after us again. They are a fabulous organisation doing great things for Carlton.
I couldn't agree with you more, and aren't you going beautifully. Thanks for joining us, great man. Delightful to hear your voice on the radio station.
Good on you, buddy.
Daniel Harford, coach of the AFLW team. Big win for them.